Matthew chapter 5. Maybe you'll have this scripture memorized for long. If you would, let's stand together again as we read from God's Word. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. We've spent a fair amount of time with the Beatitudes. And last week we looked at ye are the salt of the earth. You were here on Wednesday. Spoke about outreach. What is outreach? Thought maybe I'd just go ahead and bring those notes tonight and redo it. But as I got home Wednesday night after service, and somehow I left out some things that I really wanted to say. But I guess I should have supposed to leave them unsaid then, huh? But anyway, let's look again at verses 13 to 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lord Jesus, thank you once again for your word. I pray that you would bless the word to our hearts, to our lives. Give us that anointing that is needed, both the speaker and the hearer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Flipping over to John's Gospel before we get into Matthew 5, I want us to notice something over here in John chapter 8. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, verse number 12, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. And then if I flip a page and go over to John chapter 9 and verse number 5, Jesus is speaking there in a completely different context, and he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You don't have to have a college degree or the mind of a rocket scientist to understand where that would lead us in our text for tonight. Where Jesus says in verse number 14, ye are the light of the world. Now remember, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said that he was the light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. But now we hear him saying to us that we are the light of the world. Now this is the second statement that Christ makes in relation to the function of the church or the Christian in the world. The first one is that ye shall be salt, or that ye are salt. But we find his description of a Christian in general as we've looked at the Beatitudes. The description of the Christian is found within the general aspects of the Beatitudes. And then he switches there, as we would think about a switch, and yet he's just continuing on, and he presents the statement about the function of the Christian in the world. The first one, excuse me, is that of being salt of the earth. And he quickly jumps further and says that ye are the light of the world. Now I want you to get this. I want to give you a quote again from Lloyd-Jones. He said it this way, let us always remember that it is a statement concerning the ordinary average Christian, not certain Christians only. It is applicable to all who rightly claim this name. Did you hear that? He's very clear. He's very plain here with his statement. He's just simply saying that this statement, that ye are the light of the world, involves every Christian. The ordinary, the average Christian. It's not some high level, high state, high condition, or high place that a person can achieve. It's the ordinary. Can I change the wording? It's you and me. It's us. Ye are the light of the world. Now, just as we looked last week that he was saying to us that ye are the salt of the earth, he was saying that ye are the salt. You are the salt, and you alone are the salt. He's also saying you are the light, and you alone. Not you alone individually, but you alone as Christians are the light. Followers of Christ are the light of the world. Jesus did not plan for another scenario. That was his plan. He didn't have a plan B. Ye are the light of the world. But this same Jesus that said, ye are the light of the world, also said that I am the light of the world. Now we must take these two statements together. The Christian is and can only be the light of the world because of his relationship to Jesus Christ himself. Now that word, two-letter word two there that is important to the statement, but really we probably ought to change it to another word. That not only should we understand that the Christian is the light of the world because of the relationship to him, but also because of the relationship in him. Because we are not just related to, we are related in. This is an in family where he puts within us himself. Relationship in him. You know, there's all kinds of things that we can use and think of at times to use as an example. And I thought about using an example here because there's times that we may get a little bit confused as to what this means. This isn't just a mirror. This is not even talking simply about being or just being a mirror. This is quite more. This is incredibly more than mirroring. I could hold a mirror up here and I could have somebody back there in the back of the church use a spotlight and they could hit the mirror with that spotlight and I could turn the mirror anywhere I wanted to and hit any one of you in the face with that light. But I don't have the light. I'm only mirroring the light. That's not what he's talking about, that we simply mirror God's light around us. He's not saying that you can spread my light. He's saying ye are the light. That's an incredible requirement. That's an incredible statement. It's an incredible responsibility. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have, not mirror, but shall have the light of life. Now we read in the Gospels that Jesus came to be the light in the midst of darkness. But he didn't only come to be the light in darkness, but he came to bring light. Transferable light. not just mirrored or radiated light, but transferable light, where you and I, are the light of the world. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul the Apostle speaks a little bit about darkness and light. He said, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And again, I don't believe that that's speaking about a reflection, that is speaking about a mirror, but that is speaking about the light of God being within us to shine forth out of us. I can be a mirror of light, but all I have is a piece of glass. I can reflect it around, but all I have is a piece of glass. But I must have the light. You see, it is very important about our relationship. The Christian is and only can be the light of the world because of his relationship to and in Christ. It's vitally important. Not only have we received light from the light of the world coming into our world, into our life, that we have received light, but we have been made light. Again, that ought to settle into our heart, into our thinking. What a tremendous responsibility that he is calling for his followers to be, to have. The Christian who has received the light of this world and has been a partaker of his divine nature, I am the light of the world, becomes a carrier of that light. First John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. There's really not any place in the sanctuary tonight that is dark. But there are shadows. There's a lot of shadows. Some shadows move in here at night. Shadows. We all probably have a basic understanding of shadows. They can be frightening. They can be scary. Shadow is formed because a light shines on something else. But in God, there is no shadows. There's no darkness at all. We are to be that light. That concept in itself should burst every sin, everyday thought, word, and deed bubble around. It should. Because in him is no darkness at all. And as we have become a partaker of his grace and a partaker of his divine nature, we have been infused. We have his light shining within us. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then Jesus very clearly shifts that responsibility or that role over onto his followers. Ye are the light of the world. Now salt, as we've already looked at, has a general application of the Christian in the world. Salt by nature is saltness, and it has an effect in the general senses. But light can be more specific. Light shines on the specific. Even as salt takes effect in the broad spectrum, the opportunity to infuse or to give instruction or present light is in the statement, ye are the light of the world. As salt has made or had its effect in the general course of its contact in the world, it then would open the door for a person to be specific light, shining a specific light. But what does light do? We could spend a long time here looking at what light does. But first of all, we can see that light exposes darkness. Not only does it expose darkness, it exposes the things that belong in darkness. What comes to your mind immediately when you think about those things that light exposes in the midst of darkness? A cockroach? Some of you are nodding your heads. You know, I've been in some places where there's some huge cockroaches. Some of you have seen them as well. Big cockroaches. It was always fun as a kid to shine the light where you knew the cockroaches were and see them scurry and scamper and try to get away. Sometimes there were so many of them that it took them a long time to just keep shining that light all over the place, scaring them around. I remember at Penview when we were there, I think it was the last time that I lived there, which would have been in the 7th and 8th grade. My brother and I took care of the animals that were over in the barn. We had pigs, chickens, and cows, and wonderful time, and rats. There were a lot of rats over there. In the corner of the barn was a little entryway into the old silo, which was nothing but dirt and junk. It wasn't used. And a little doorway there. We'd take a piece of plywood and set it up in the corner so that when the rats come out of the feed troughs, as the light was flipped on, they'd hit that board and give us a split second to shoot. You could walk in there of a nighttime. It didn't matter what the weather was outside. You could walk in there any time of the night and flip on the light and you will hear the scurrying of the rats. And I'm not talking about little rats. I'm not talking about medium-sized rats. I'm talking about rats. That's not the tail. That's the body. Big rats. Sometimes we thought they were the size of groundhogs. They were big rats. I think they've tore that barn down now, didn't they? You think I'm exaggerating, aren't you? See, look at it. I guarantee you. I wish my dad and brothers were here. They'd tell you. Did you guys ever see him, Chad? Did you ever see him over there? You never went in the barn? Yeah. Come on now. Putting me on the spot. Okay. Big rats. Scurry, and when the light comes on, the darkness, the things of darkness. I'm talking about darkness because Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, John chapter 3, verse 19 tells us, this is the condemnation that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This is the condemnation. This is the trouble. Darkness, sin, and the love of that darkness or sin. You put light on the love of someone's life. Put light on the love of someone's life and there will be some scurrying going on. Sometimes there may even be some harsh words spoken. Quite often you'll hear the response or the retort, "Who are you to judge?" But you see, when we are being the light of the world, it's not me judging, it's thus saith the Lord. That's one thing that we must always remember from the example of the Old Testament prophets. They didn't go out on their own. They went out on thus saith the Lord. Not me, but Jesus said, "Ye are the light. I am the light. I'm transferring the light to you. It's not you in and of yourself. It is my light in you." So that person loves light and hates darkness. I want to conclude again with a long quote from Lloyd-Jones. He really puts it right down to where we might live. Listen to what he said. Christian people, you and I are living in the midst of men and women who are in the state of gross darkness. They will never have any light anywhere in this world except from you and from me and the gospel which we believe and teach. They are watching us. Do they see something different about us? Are our lives a silent rebuke to them? Do we so live as to lead them to come and ask us, why do you always look so peaceful? How is it you are so balanced? How can you stand up to things as you do? Why is it you are not dependent upon artificial aids and pleasures as we are? What is this thing that you have? If they do, we can tell them that wondrous, amazing, but tragically neglected news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and to give men a new nature and a new life and to make them children of God. Christian people alone are the light of the world today. Let us live and function as children of the light. Ye are, simply put, the light of the world. Let's stand together.